It is the Nightcap here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. That is Matt Holt. I am Tim Murray, live from the Circa Sportsbook, and looking forward to tonight's show in just a couple minutes. We will break down in depth what to expect from the quarterbacks, the wide receivers atop the draft, and who should be going higher than others. We'll discuss that with former NFL tight end Chris Cooley here in just a moment. But Mr. Holt, you and I, we've got some late night sweats.
Suns and Suns Incorporated.
We are going all in on the Suns tonight. Money line as the Phoenix Suns hosting the Miami Heat this evening. So we are in on the Suns on the money line as they are 19-7, ladies and gentlemen, against teams with an above 500 record. They're also 9-3 straight up this year in back-to-backs. So hopefully that good mojo is rolling, because the Heat, they've been playing some good basketball here of late. They are 7-1 in their last 8 games and heading into this game. And they look strong over the weekend as well, the Miami Heat did. So we will see, but you and I rolling with the Phoenix Suns this evening on that money line.
I like it.
All right. Well, I hope I like it. It's trying to get a little extra cash in the pocket before I hit the road, hit the old dusty trail. I'm taking a couple days off.
I'm going to try to hit a little parlay too, I think, with Suns and Blazers.
Ooh. I like
getting froggy.
Yeah. I'm on the Blazers too, a little bit less than I am on the Suns, but I like the Blazers tonight as they are laying 1 against the Celtics. Celtics, no Evan Fournier. He remains out due to health and protocol reasons. The Celtics on Sunday ended the game against the Utah Jazz, or had a 31-3, Matt. 31-3 run in the fourth quarter. You're seeing the prop bets for this evening's game. Damian Lillard, Jason Tatum, both there at 25.5 points. Jason Tatum, not that far removed from a 53-point performance. And, you know, last night, you and I were on the wrong side of a 53-point performance. I'm hoping that we are not on the wrong. You know, we could go for a little. Hey, Damian Lillard, if you want to go up for 53, you know,
yes,
help
please.
Us out. That'd be great.
Yes.
I mean, we're all in. We're all in favor of Damian Lillard going off. And we're also all in favor of Devin Booker. If Devin Booker wants to get a 53-game point, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
That works. I mean, Chris Paul, sure. If you want to throw that in there, I'm cool with that. Going back to the Heat game real quick, Victor Oladipo is out for the Miami Heat this evening. Once again, so the Phoenix Suns laying 3.5 in that one. No real late movement. We saw a little bit of uptick. This thing opened 3. It's about split. If you want to lay the number with Phoenix, you can get a 3 out there. And if you want to take the points with Miami, you can get a 3.5 out there. Those are all readily available across the board and across town in different spots. Here at Circa, Phoenix is laying that 3.5
They know.
Against Miami. Yeah. Yeah. They know.
They know.
They weren't giving us the good number.
No.
No, we had to go look for that good number. And Portland is 1 pretty much across the board. There were some 1.5s out there earlier in the afternoon.
Yeah, it looks
those
like
are gone
everywhere.
Yeah,
oh, Station's 1.5
I laid the 1 with Portland last night. So you and I talked about it last night. I was in on it. And then you convinced
me. I laid the 1 10 minutes ago.
All right. And you convinced me on the Suns. So we will see if the Suns can take care of business. We'll keep an eye. We got a tremendous pitching matchup. It is no longer the two starters in there, but Lucas Giolito went 7 scoreless, 7+ scoreless. He did have a walk against Shane Bieber. And if you played the over on their strikeout props,
both went under, right?
Half. Well, Bieber's still in.
Oh.
So Bieber has 9 strikeouts. His was at 9.5. And Lucas Giolito, 8 strikeouts, set
and
eight and a half.
And a real bad beat maybe at the end, because it looked like that walk could have been a K, and a tough one.
I mentioned last night, I should have played it. I mentioned that my Nats, the word was that they got their vaccines the day before. They're getting obliterated by the Cardinals. 12-1, Steven Strasburg looked absolutely awful. It is the Nightcap. Let's keep this thing rolling. We'll be right back. We are getting closer and closer to the NFL draft. I made an NFL draft bet today. I took a little first defensive player selected. So we will...
Who did you take?
Patrick Surtain.
Okay. At least you bet the same guy you told me to bet.
Yes, that is true. I did not zig when yeah. I told you to zag. No, I took Surtain at plus 175. And it's interesting to look at those prop bets out there, Matt, because varying odds.
Extreme variances.
He is now, I believe Patrick Surtain is odds on to be the top defensive player drafted at DraftKings.
Wow.
While he was plus 175 at earlier today.
That's what I got him last night. Yeah, plus 175.
So that is where I'm at. And I also have Justin Fields being the third overall pick at plus 260. And I want to talk more about Justin Fields and these quarterbacks. And to do that, bring in a good friend of mine. We worked together for many years in the D.C. area. Might remember him from his time with Washington as a tight end, rocking number 47, the pride of Utah State, Chris Cooley. Cooley, what's up, man?
What's up, dude? It's been a long time.
I know. We've both decided to leave the D.C. area. I moved to Nevada, and you moved to where? Were you in Montana or Wyoming?
Close to Montana in Wyoming.
Okay.
South Canada?
Yes, actually Canada. Wyoming is Canada. No one knows that, really.
But you, good thing for you up there in Wyoming. You still got the DVR working, so we need those breakdowns. And I just want to kind of go down the list, and we'll start. It's funny, Cooley, because right now it's just a foregone conclusion that Trevor Lawrence is going to be the number one pick. We're not even talking about him. We're talking about Justin Fields. We're talking about Mac Jones, Trey Lance. Even Davis Mills is getting a little run from Stanford here recently. But I want to start at the top because Trevor Lawrence, he's going to be the number one overall pick. He's going to go to Jacksonville and play for Urban Meyer. And when you watch the film of Trevor Lawrence coming out of Clemson, you know, what stands out to you, and what are some things that are worrisome? Because it feels like with Lawrence, it's just kind of a foregone conclusion. Ah, this guy's going to be great. There's no flaws. What have you seen from his tape?
Well, there are flaws. I mean, look at his haircut. It's terrible. No, seriously, it's crazy when you start looking at these guys, when you talk about, like, he's the number one four guy. He is, because no one wants to take a risk if everybody in the world thinks he is, because you don't want to get fired over that. Mm-hmm. Even though Urban Meyer's there and it's complete rebuild, he's the guy. And honestly, guys, he's the most complete top to bottom without question. He's also the guy that's done it for the extended period of time and shown that he's got all of those tendencies and traits and ability to read defense. And when you watch Trevor Lawrence, he's pretty special. I mean, everything I said, like his feet are really good. You know, when you look at him in the pocket, he's able to manipulate the pocket, move really well. His accuracy, I think, is outstanding. And his feel for defense, I think, is really, really good. And so Trevor Lawrence is unquestionably the number one. And you'd be crazy if you were in Las Vegas to think anybody else was going to be that guy.
You know, we keep talking about quarterbacks, and quarterbacks really are probably going to dominate the top three spots in this draft. But the favorite to be the first non-quarterback taken, someone who shared a position with you at tight end, Kyle Pitts is getting more and more love in the wagering markets every single day. What do you think of Kyle Pitts being a top five pick in this NFL draft, where he might land and the impact he may have immediately?
Well, I think Kyle Pitts is the best tight end prospect that I've seen and probably realistically ever. You know, the only guy, there were a couple guys drafted really early, I think top five, and that was Vernon Davis and Kellen Winslow Jr. And there were some questions to Kellen Winslow. That was my year, and I remember that, as to who he was, personality, some of the stuff, like all the way back to that 04 draft when he said something about, you know, we're soldiers out here. And then Vernon Davis runs this 4.4, and you're like, wow, a tight end ran a 4.4. But I think there were a lot of unknowns, because Vernon, who I know really well now, was raw at the time. Pitts is not raw. Pitts is a guy that has a real natural ability to stem routes, to move defenders, to make kind of these double stick type of moves and separate with this unbelievable natural talent at 6'5" to vertically get down the field, the long arms, the ability to go get the ball, all the things that Pitts does, you're like, oh my gosh. And then I watched that whole pro day. Oddly enough, from the Venetian, I watched the Pitts pro day.
Oh, thanks for giving me a call, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. I had a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old. Actually, you have young kids too, so we maybe could have got together.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were there for a day and a half. But yeah, then you watch him with in the blocking drill, and he, from his knees, he's lunging his hips and punching a bag, and he's on his feet without even a half hesitation step. I'm going, what? Who is this dude? Like, my gosh. And so when I started looking at Pitts in the draft, I haven't seen a tight end like this come out. I mean, really, ever, because he's just so much more polished than Vernon was when Vernon came out. And the impact of the tight end in the league over the last few years, and if you actually have that guy who you can move and do everything you want to do and create mismatches with and dictate coverages with, it's like, how do you not take him? So for Atlanta to not take Pitts at 4, I think would be completely crazy. Or they'll trade, and if they do that, I would, guys, I'd be honest if someone were to trade into 4 and not take Pitts. I think he goes at 4. I think he's that good. And I think there's enough questions with, oddly enough, and I know you're going to get into this, with Lance and with Fields more than Pitts.
We're talking to Chris Cooley, former NFL tight end, spent a handful of years in the media. I was on the Washington Redskins radio broadcast for a handful of years as well. And, you know, I want to go to 3 because when you were in Washington, you played under Mike Shanahan and Kyle Shanahan. It's crazy when you look at that staff. You mentioned Arthur Smith. He was on the staff, right? He was a defensive quality control coach early on in your career?
He was there with Gibbs before Shanahan.
Okay. It's wild the amount of coaches that have come in and out of that building there in Ashburn, Virginia. But Kyle Shanahan and Lynch, they make this monster move to go up to 3. You know, from your evaluation, if you were John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, who would you take at 3, assuming it goes Lawrence and Wilson there at 2? Who would you take at 3?
Well, so to me, I think Lance is really intriguing. And he's not played as much as you like a guy to play. I think there's enough unknown with playing in the FCS that you're questioning that. But when I watch him enough for thinking of Kyle, they're operating a really simplistic offense. And I'm bet you part of that is a lot of mirrored concepts, a lot of easy things for Lance to get a ball out, a lot of drawn up deep shots where, man, he looks like he's doing a hell of a job, but he's really just working number one the entire way. I think as a prospect, he's got so many traits that I love, but I don't think they'll go that way. I think Fields is a guy that is not the decision maker that they want at this time. I don't think Fields is ready just yet to fit into that offense. And I'm not saying that he won't. I'm not saying that he can't. I think trait-wise, there's a lot of things there that you love. But looking at Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, they've dealt with Garoppolo, a guy that they think is slow as an operator. They think is anticipation is down just a notch. That I would bet anything they'd go with Mac Jones at that point. That's the Kirk Cousins that Kyle's always wanted. That's the guy that fits that system. That's the guy that fits that scheme. They want a guy that just essentially facilitates. And going back and looking at what Mike Shanahan did forever in Denver, I mean, after Elway, and then going through Washington and looking at the guys, he didn't like McNabb. He liked John Beck and Rex Grossman. Like, those were the guys that they wanted at that time. So I would bet on Mac Jones right there. I think Mac Jones is a guy that his biggest knock is that he played for Alabama and he had all these receivers in the best offense, and it was easy for him to understand But he's pretty quick as far as a processor. There's some stuff to Mac Jones that I think they would like.
Yeah, I was just going to kind of double down and have you break down Mac Jones. So what is it? Because when you think about the raw capabilities, the athletic ability of a Justin Fields and the arm strength, that's what jumps out at you, and that's what makes it intriguing to, you know, to bet him at, you know, 5-2 to be that third pick. But what about Mac Jones? There's a reason he's the favorite in the betting market. There's a reason that majority of these mock drafts, Chris, have Mac Jones going there. So what is it about Mac Jones as a prospect that fits Kyle Shanahan, and why Kyle Shanahan would want to trade two future firsts, and a third this year to go up 9 spots to secure Mac Jones?
What it is in sitting in 4 years of meetings with Kyle Shanahan as an offensive coordinator, he's going to sit and hype playmakers make plays. And he needs the quarterback to get the ball in the hands of the playmakers, and that's what he wants. And I'm talking about a guy that developed Robert Griffin III and completely changed an offense in 2012 for a quarterback that they took a big risk on. I mean, they vastly changed the Shanahan system to a complete pistol system and so much of the zone read stuff. And I don't think Kyle wants to do that. I think Kyle wants to run his system the way he wants to run his system. To me, I'm not going to say that it's an arrogance, but it's in complete confidence that he knows what he's doing is right. And I actually think what he's doing is really, really good. I think he's one of the better coaches in the league. He just wants a guy to facilitate him onto the field, to just be an extension of him. And that's not Trey Lance right now, and it's not Justin Fields. It's Mac Jones if you're going to take a guy right there. That's the guy that he would think is the extension of him in that system, in that offense. That's what he wants to do.
We're talking once again to Chris Cooley, who is a former NFL tight end, played under Kyle Shanahan when he was the OC in Washington, and Mike Shanahan, and now hanging out in Wyoming and giving us great insight. You know, Cooley, I'm curious of the wide receivers and of the tape you've caught of them. Jamar Chase obviously, you know, opted out this past year, but put up really impressive numbers his final year at LSU with Joe Burrow under center and route to a national championship. Then you've got two teammates from Alabama, Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle. From what you've watched, who's your favorite wide receiver of that trio?
Gosh, just do a three-way coin flip because they're all pretty incredible. I mean, and Jamar Chase, man, you watched his pro day, and I think the COVID stuff was wild because you have these guys opting out, and you're wondering, I mean, even me, I'm sitting here thinking, can a 21, 22-year-old dedicate himself to over a year span to being in the league and staying in that kind of physical condition? And I was completely impressed with Jamar Chase at his pro day. I mean, watching him on film the year before, I think being a guy from Utah State, they played Utah State like the second game 2 years ago or the third game somewhere in there. And that was the first look I'd had at Jamar Chase. And it took about a quarter and a half before I said, oh, this dude's a first-round pick. And that was not on film. That's on television. Like, no, this is the real deal. So I think Jamar Chase ends up being the first one off the board. I love the Alabama receivers. I think, and watching what they do at Alabama with their receivers in terms of technically teaching them how to run routes and how to operate and how to release at the line of scrimmage, it sounds silly that I'm saying this, but guys, there are so many schools that don't have coaches that understand how to teach receivers to be technicians. I mean, majority, I would say, tight ends, receivers come into the league raw. It's crazy to think that, but they do. Alabama receivers do not. They are fine-tuned. They are exceptional route runners. They are disciplined. They understand all the nuance of route running. And so I think both of those Alabama receivers are going to be really, really good football players. It's funny. It's Alabama U, but when you start to look at these guys, I mean, other than you're saying, is the one dude Waddle, is he completely healthy? Mm-hmm. Which I think he will be. I think they're both exceptional. I think you got three sure things there at receiver. With the three guys coming off early.
Cooley, we only got about a minute or so. I'm just curious. We the guy we skipped over, he's going to the Jets, it seems. It's Zach Wilson. You know, blew up this year, monster year for BYU. What'd you see from Zach Wilson?
Well, he's definitely a Mormon, and I love. You know, I was drafted in Washington, and for 2 years, Joe Gibbs thought I was a good Mormon kid for a year and a half. And I think probably both of you guys know the story of how that went after that. But, no, Zach Wilson's the guy that – it was funny because I can't remember, and I should, the tight end from BYU last year who came out. And I don't know where he went. But, gosh, I watched a lot of film, and I said, when this quarterback's in here, he's really, really good. And then I watched a bunch of Zach Wilson film. Gosh, talk about a guy that plays with a boatload of confidence, a guy that can make every throw, who's also incredibly athletic, who's operating in that kind of like that gun style, let it go offense. I think there's some really good stuff with Zach Wilson.
Chris Cooley, you're the man. I appreciate it, and we'll have to catch up soon.
No, I was just really glad you texted me and had me on today. Thank you.
This is a lot of fun. There he is, Chris Cooley, former NFL tight end. We'll get you updated on all the games that are going on right now in the NBA and in Major League Baseball next. It's the Nightcap. Welcome back to the Indeed.com studio. Hiring. Start finding the right people right away. Visit Indeed.com/credit. It is the Nightcap here on VSiN, and always good to catch up with my guy, Chris Cooley, and appreciate him dropping some knowledge and just give us some thoughts. And I thought it was interesting perspective, as we've had so many people on, Matt, that have told us, and I'm in agreement, that a guy like Justin Fields is worthy of the third pick and will be the third pick. We haven't seen a ton of movement in that odds market. A little bit today in the favor of Justin Fields. But his relationship, now, he didn't say I have inside information, or he wasn't.
No.
He was just saying, from what I know from Kyle Shanahan, and when I was sitting in those offensive meetings, Mac Jones is the type of quarterback he wants.
Yep.
He wants a quarterback that's going to get the ball out and that's going to let his playmakers go to work, which is certainly something that San Francisco has. I think the mindset of others, you know, the folks from PFF and even myself, think, well, you have an exceptional talent in Justin Fields. That's the type of guy you want to have come in. But, yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it ends up. It is fascinating, ultimately, what plays out. But I can tell you one thing. I loved catching up with Chris, but his answer on Mac Jones did not make me feel warm and fuzzy about my +260 bet on Justin Fields going third.
No, I think some of it just has to do with, you know, the lack of success that Ohio State quarterbacks have had in the NFL. I mean, they've had some really good teams and some really amazing college quarterbacks who haven't exactly worked out. Cardale Jones, Dwayne Haskins, Miller, I mean...
Yep.
None of them. I mean, they all were amazing in college.
Yeah.
Cardale Jones won a national championship.
Yeah. He should have left. He shouldn't have come back. Probably would have been a first-round pick. Let's get you updated on the NBA scoreboard right now. Both Matt and I are in on a couple games. One has gotten off to a good start with Portland leading Boston 21-14, 6.5 minutes to go in the first quarter. Portland went off as a one-point favorite. Both Matt and I laid the one with the Portland Trail Blazers. The other, we're in the mindset of, well, it's early. Right now, Miami has a 27-19 lead over the Phoenix Suns, and this is not ideal for where we want to be, but yes, it is early, so we're hoping we can get a little bit of a bounce back here. Miami right now is shooting exceptionally well, 10 of 16 from the field, 4 of 6 from 3, and for the Phoenix Suns, Devin Booker, 1 for 5 from the field, Chris Paul 0 for 2. DeAndre Ayton has set a handful of dunks here. So and Jay Crowder, corner three, which helped us going into a media timeout. But the Heat, early 8-point lead on the Phoenix Suns. And I think one of the more impressive things this year has been the record against teams above 500 for the Phoenix Suns. It is 19-7.
Yeah.
That is exceptional when you think about where the Phoenix Suns are. But, you know, it's funny that we're betting against both Boston and Miami tonight, because those are the two teams in the Eastern Conference, Matt, that we've heard all year, when are they going to make the run? Are they going to turn it around? We keep asking the same question. I don't think Boston will. Now, will they make the playoffs? Yes. Will they maybe win a game or two if they're the eighth seed against Philadelphia or Brooklyn? Yeah, I think it's possible. They got enough talent.
Sure.
But, I don't know if this Boston team's turning it around. Miami, on the other hand, I think they could. I think this Miami team could turn it around, and we're seeing it a little bit. They've won 7 of 8, and they're off to a tremendous start here tonight. They lead by 10 over the Phoenix Suns, 29-19, under 3 minutes to go in the first quarter. They went off as a 3.5-point underdog. Another thing that we've been keeping a close eye on has been the Lakers, and can they stay in that 5 spot with this challenging schedule that they've had? Can they take advantage of some softer spots? Well, tonight against a Charlotte team that we know has no Malik Monk, no Gordon Hayward, no LaMelo Ball, they went off as a short favorite, the Lakers did, and they won 101-93. This is an important win tonight for the Lakers. Any win until LeBron and KD come back is important, and they got it done.
You know, and I'm starting to wonder now with Denver, with, you know, that terrible injury we watched last night, if Portland suddenly doesn't sneak into that five spot, Lakers climb up to the 4, and we see a rematch of last year's first-round matchup with Lakers-Portland.
We'll take a look at some of the other results from earlier today and get you updated on what was the premier pitching matchup of the evening. Stick around. It is the Nightcap here on VC. The spring sports betting action is just getting started. Our VSiN experts are covering early season baseball trends, NHL and NBA playoff races. Plus, we're looking at all the key picks and predictions for the NFL draft. Give you all the tools to make the most of every bet, including 24/7 video coverage, odds and analysis for every game on VSiN.com, our daily members-only best bet emails, and in-depth coverage of every major event in Point Spread Weekly. The weather and betting action are heating up, and now is the time to sign up for your VSiN 10-day free trial, VSiN.com/subscribe. It is the Nightcap here on VSiN, live from the Circus Sportsbook. That's Matt Holt, at Matthew Holt, USI on Twitter, at One Tim Murray, is where you can find me. And I need to come through on this tease, because I was excited about the prospect of this game, and it has not disappointed, as long as you like pitcher duels. The White Sox and Indians, folks, I tweeted Aaron Oster earlier in the day. The first 5 under was 3. Yeah, you won your winner bet if you played the under. It is scoreless in the bottom of the 9th inning, and Shane Bieber has gone. He's still in right now. 8 1/3, Matt. 3 hits, no runs, 10 strikeouts, no walks. Shane Bieber has been tremendous this year. There's some notable strikeout props from today's earlier games. Trevor Bauer on the hill here for the Dodgers tonight. And Shane Bieber gets his over. Small juice, because that number was so high, 9.5, and he hits the over. He has 10 strikeouts. There is a man on first in the bottom of the 9th inning. 102 pitches right now for Shane Bieber. Lucas Giolito, as you look at that graphic, he does hit the under. You could have got some plus money on the over, and it would have been a donation because the under does hit. He finishes with 8 strikeouts. He goes into the 8th inning, does not record an out, and goes 7 innings, 3 hits, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts for Lucas Giolito. An incredible pitcher's matchup tonight in Chicago. And you know what's going to stink about this? It's going to go to extra innings, and there's going to be a guy on second base.
Yeah.
I can't stand that rule. I understand that we don't want 15, 16. It's not baseball. I can't get over it. I feel like I'm pretty open-minded about certain things, about tweaks and rules. The guy starting on second base, I can't get over it. And, you know, Matt, it has real ramifications when you think about totals in baseball. Because I am going to be very hesitant, and people we've talked to on the show, unless you're playing an over, to play full game unders. It's not crazy. Unlikely, sure. It's not crazy if this game goes to extra innings that you get the total going over, because you're going to have a guy on second base to start each inning.
They have a lot of work to do.
I know.
At 0-0, but I get it. You know, the idea of getting multiple runs in overtime is greater than it's ever been.
Yeah. So right now, a scoreless game, a great pitcher's duel going on. The Dodgers just underway. Let me pull up that. And the Dodgers have an early lead against the Colorado Rockies. They were a massive favorite in this one. And a couple home runs.
And get used to seeing those numbers, -3 something next to the Dodgers all year, because you're going to see a lot of them.
Home runs.
I'd be willing to bet that in at least 60 games this year, they're -300 or better.
Well, and it wasn't that long ago. What? It was the 2019 season when the Houston Astros, who lost the World Series, who they lose it to? Oh, that's right, the Nats. Yeah. Sorry, Astro fans. But it wasn't that long ago where we saw, I think it was the Baltimore Orioles, who were terrible that year, were +400 in a regular season, and they won one of those games. So you're going to get a lot of people. I'm curious the books on a day-to-day basis. Overall, they always need who the Dodgers are playing.
Correct.
But when you're laying such a big number, Matt.
Especially when they're at home, because then they're the late game.
Right.
So now all the parlays end with the Dodgers.
See, that's the big. The parlays are going to be huge, right?
Yeah.
So what about tonight, though? It's a Tuesday night in April. The Colorado Rockies, you could have got an irregular season baseball game.
In April
at +290 at the South Point. Aren't you going to get the regular Joe say, I can make my $100 290. In 9 innings in just a random baseball game.
Yeah, they don't. And not here in Vegas. This is a Dodgers
city. This
is such
a Dodgers town.
Yeah. And all they think about is, well, I'll do a parlay instead of betting them straight. When you see -300, they're not you know, dissuaded from betting the Dodgers. They just think, well, I'll also bet someone else in a parlay and close it with the Dodgers.
Yeah, that's also true. So you'll get the Dodgers, and maybe they played the Lakers earlier today.
Yeah.
The Lakers.
I bet that was a popular parlay today here in Vegas.
Yeah, Lakers on the road at the Hornets. Get you updated on the two other NBA games going on right now. By the way, Trevor.
See how calm and happy Tim is? That's because we're coming back.
Yeah, hopefully. We'll see. We got some work to do. Heat leading the Suns 38-34. Portland with a 30-27. I tell you what, I'm not even going to look at that game. There's going to be no defense played, and no lead will be safe in Portland and Boston tonight. Portland's lead has been dwindled already, but that is going to be an entertaining game. And Portland, that's the thing about betting Portland. You know, we bet it. I don't think you weren't even in studio. It was a Friday night when I bet the Blazers took the points at home against the Bucks, and Giannis went for 47.
Nice.
They just couldn't stop him.
Stop anybody.
That's what the Blazers are, and that's why I was so laughable thinking back to last year, how everyone felt like, the Blazers. Oh, it was a tough matchup for the Lakers. You don't play defense.
That's right.
And they won one game because they could do that. They get hot, and then you don't play any defense. But the Blazers right now leading by 3, and the Heat have come out, pun intended, very hot, 40 the 34, 5 of 12 from 3, but slowing down a little bit. They're getting to the line, though. They've already got 9 free throw attempts, and they've made all 9, and they lead 40-37 as we get a 3 here for the Phoenix Suns. So this one should be a good one. Matt and I rolling with the money line tonight. Not messing around with those points.
No.
Heat went off at 3.5. So, you know, if you laid the points or took the points with the Heat, I'm cheering for you. Just need a 2 or 3 point loss.
That's all.
You guys, we can both be winners. We can all be winners. Let's.
Can we get a walk off here in Chicago? 2 on, 2 out, and the Biebs still in there.
We will see here momentarily. Last night we were on the air and it looked bad, and it is bad.
Yeah.
Jamal Murray done for the year, a torn ACL, just absolutely devastating to the Denver Nuggets, to Jamal Murray himself. What does this mean for the Denver Nuggets moving forward? Can they overcome the loss of Jamal Murray? We'll head to the Mile High City next on the other side of this break. It is the Nightcap here on VSiN. Life is a marathon, not a sprint, unless you're hiring. Fortunately, Indeed has great tools that help speed up the hiring process. Visit Indeed.com/credit. It is the Nightcap here from the VSiN studios at the Circa Sportsbook. That's Matt Holt. I'm Tim Murray. We just witnessed some old school baseball.
Yes.
Starting pitcher, bottom of the ninth, 2 men on, and they roll with the starting pitcher. And what does Shane Bieber do? Breaks off a curveball, gets the strikeout, scoreless game going into the ninth, and nothing says old school baseball like going to the 10th and putting a dude on second. Woo!
In a 0-0 scoreless game.
Can we have a rule in the manuscript out there? It says if you're in a scoreless game, no runner on second base.
Yeah.
Don't ruin it. And we're ruining it because there's a man on second base. So, yippee. Shane Bieber.
Oh, and awesome. An error to start the inning.
Yeah. Shane Bieber, awesome pitching performance. And you know what? He can get the win because if the Indians take the lead here, he will actually be in line for the victory.
Oh, yeah, he will.
So, Bieber can get the win. But
will it be a complete game shutout then?
No, it won't.
It won't be.
Close out the unless he comes out for the 10th, which won't. Which won't happen. All right, let's get to...
I don't know.
Let's get to... That would be real old school if he went out there for the 10th inning. I want to get to the phone line and bring in Ryan Blackburn, who is the podcast host of Mile High Sports, also site manager for the Denver Stiffs, which is the... I'll let him explain a little bit more, but it is a massive Nuggets community out there. You could follow Ryan on Twitter, at NBA Blackburn. And Ryan... Man, we were watching that game in studio last night. You never want to speculate. You're looking at it, and Jamal Murray is just down, writhing in pain. And I think all of us said, "Oh no, you know this is not good." He, you know, couldn't walk off the floor. And it's devastating to him. It's devastating to the Nuggets. Just how much of a blow is this to the Denver Nuggets? I know it seems like a simple question, but I mean, this is a team that had aspirations and hopes, and realistically, to win the NBA title this year.
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks, guys, for having me on. I appreciate it. It was just talking to people in the arena last night. It was really surreal. You could hear a pin drop at that moment where the only sound you could really hear was Jamal Murray screaming in agony. Oh. It's just painful to witness something like that. Everybody on TV watching knew, and you didn't really need to hear it confirmed this morning by Shams Charania that like this was going to be a really, really tough thing for Denver. It's gut wrenching. This team had finally really got together a championship contender. At least that's how they felt locally. And it seems nationally things were starting to turn. This team, with Nikola Jokic as a front runner for MVP, Jamal Murray was his sidekick, was the guy that without Jamal, it is impossible almost to think about this team as a championship contender anymore, because those two are so important to each other. They're important to the team, on the court, off the court, just how they play. It very much seems like this is a big time blow for this Nuggets organization, not just this year, but kind of going forward too.
And what are they going to have to completely revamp the way they play? Because look, they're not exactly deep at point guard, the Denver Nuggets. I mean, there wasn't a lot behind Murray. This was a team with Michael Porter Jr. and Aaron Gordon and some of the pieces around Jokic, where you could say, okay, there's some depth at forward, there's some depth in the paint, there's some depth on the perimeter, but at the point guard spot, there's not exactly a ton of depth on this team. You know, what do we think? You know, what do we think of Denver moving forward now, and where do they really go from here?
Well, it's a tough question to ask, because with Jamal, he's a max contract guy in the first year of his 5-year, $160-something million deal, and he's a guy that they had really banked on, that they had really keyed in on as a central core member of their title hopes. It's one of the reasons why they went out and traded for a guy like Aaron Gordon. They made a conscious move to go all in this year on getting bigger, on being able to match up with teams like the Los Angeles Lakers, Los Angeles Clippers. And from the early moments of that trade, you could see it working. You could see Aaron Gordon really making an impact in that game against the Clippers. And Jamal Murray was a big part of that too, as a guy who helped close out that game behind him. Because they traded Gary Harris, because they traded RJ Hampton, they were already pretty thin. Now that you lose Jamal Murray, you're expecting a guy like Will Barton, who was the starter at shooting guard this year, you're expecting him to step up into a larger role. You're expecting Monte Morris, the primary backup point guard who they extended this offseason, you're probably expecting him to step into that starting role and help try to kind of ease things in. It's going to be very interesting to see how Denver changes it up, because the Jokic-Murray two-man game was sort of how they operated everything. And they do have other talented pieces, but it's going to drastically change how they play.
Chat once again with Ryan Blackburn, who does fine work there in Denver. He's site manager for at Denver Stiffs. Check that out. Great work there. And also a host for Mile High Sports at NBA Blackburn on Twitter is where you can find him. And there are some markets, some spots, Matt, that reacted, but not to the extent of what we saw at the Westgate Superbook today, which was 16-1 to 100-1 for the Denver Nuggets to win the NBA title. And I think that's fair. It's really hard to see, especially in the Western Conference, Ryan. You know, knowing that if they can hold on to the four spot, or even if they drop to the five, you're likely getting the defending world champs. You know, the team that they faced in the Western Conference Finals last year, in the Los Angeles Lakers. Defensively, how big of a hit is this? Because I know the advanced numbers don't shine so brightly on Nikola Jokic. So how big of a hit is this defensively for the Nuggets?
Yeah, I'm not even sure how to answer that yet without seeing it play out.
Yeah.
I think that this is probably going to just kind of be an ongoing process as they figure out who the new combinations are, how they're going to surround Nikola Jokic with the proper pieces. It's very possible that now that they lost kind of an offensive star in Jamal Murray, that they decide to go more defensive, that they decide to add a guy like PJ Dozier into that primary rotation and playing him upwards of 25 minutes a night. PJ Dozier's a very good defensive player. Monte Morris, he's fine, but he's undersized at that point guard position. Denver may decide to pivot, do a little bit of weird stuff to try to recover in different ways. They have Nikola Jokic as one of the premier offensive players in the game right now. Michael Porter Jr. will assume a larger role of the offensive workload, and we'll see whether that works. I'm as curious as you guys are about how they're going to handle this. Michael Malone has tried to experiment with a variety of different things throughout the year, but he's never had to go an extended period of time without his point guard in Jamal Murray. So this is new ground for all of us, and we're going to have to figure it out. Expect Monte Morris to be the primary point guard at the outset, and if that's the case, then they will take a hit defensively.
You know, Ryan, this has been one of the most competitive Western conferences that we've seen in a long time. We're so used to Golden State running away with it or the Lakers running away with it. And suddenly we had this massive competitive race, obviously a bummer for Denver and their chances to win the West with Murray out. But of all the teams in the West, Utah, Phoenix, Clippers, Lakers, Blazers, Mavericks, who do you think eventually ends up emerging from this hotly contested Western Conference this year?
I still think it's probably the Lakers, and that's the safe pick, of course, but it is, of course, less safe now that you don't necessarily know how healthy they are going to be. The Nuggets, I think, were honestly, they had a really big shot if the Lakers were not as healthy as everybody hoped, that the Nuggets were probably the next team up there. If the Lakers aren't healthy, then I'm going to go with the Clippers. They just look unstoppable offensively right now, and they've got a lot of different counters now that they didn't have in previous years. All their guys are shooting well from three, probably the most important piece of this. It's going to be fascinating. You could make an argument for a lot of different teams, like you said. I would probably go with the Lakers, then the Clippers, and then maybe the Utah Jazz. If they get hot from three, then it's hard to beat them as well.
Ryan, before we let you run, I know the talk, obviously, in Denver right now is all about Jamal Murray, and rightfully so, and the devastating injury, but Nikola Jokic is going to win MVP of the league, barring some crazy change. I don't think you need to pitch us on why he should be MVP. He's odds on for a reason. His numbers are spectacular, and he'll be even more of an emphasis down the stretch here. But what has been the main reason for Nikola Jokic's, I wouldn't say emergence, he's been a star, but you know, for this next step to be the league's MVP?
I think it's his willingness to just assume responsibility for everything. He's a guy who he didn't necessarily want to take this game super seriously at the outset. When he came in as a rookie, as a sophomore, it took a lot of tough lessons for him to sort of learn that he needed to take this as seriously as he possibly could. And then when he got to a level where he was an all-star, but not quite that level of superstar that you associated with an MVP, he had a couple moments where he was dominated by Anthony Davis at various points last year. He wanted to really change and alter his body. He started to take the game as seriously as I have ever seen him do it. And when he's on point, when he's aggressive, just looking for his own offense, it opens up everything for this Nuggets team. And Denver, to their credit, has done a really great job of building a great team around him to take advantage of his skills. That's one of the great things about Murray. It's just that he didn't need the ball in his hands all the time in order to be an impactful offensive player, in order to be an impactful defensive player. Same with Michael Porter. Same with now Aaron Gordon as they've added him. So they've done a great job of surrounding him with the right pieces, and he's taken advantage of that. But as you guys said, I don't need to sway you. He's an awesome player. He's done a great job this year, and I look forward to him trying to come up with an MVP speech.
Yeah, that will be something. Hey, Ryan, great stuff, man. Appreciate the time.
Awesome. Thank you guys for having me on.
Thanks, Ryan Blackburn, at NBA Blackburn on Twitter. I want to get into something we kind of hinted at a little bit last night about the Nuggets and what it means for a team in Los Angeles moving forward. It is the Nightcap here on VSiN.